A former MD termed internationally best-selling author, Tess Gerritsen's popularity skyrocketed when TNT launched the television series Rizzoli and Isles, starring Angie Harmon and Sasha Alexander, based on her best-selling novels featuring the favorite characters of medical examiner Dr. Maura Isles and Boston homicide detective Jane Rizzoli. It's enjoying its fifth season, headed into national syndication as well. And now Tess Gerritsen returns with her new novel, Die Again, which is a case that takes Jane and Maura out of their Boston beats and abroad for a killer whose victims have spanned the globe. It's a great pleasure to welcome Tess Gerritsen back to the roundtable. Always nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's good to be back, too.
Thank you very much. So let's talk about Die Again. What brought you down this road to put the characters on the road, quite frankly?
Well, it all came out of an experience I had while I was on safari in Africa. We were standing around one beautiful sunset having cocktails, and out of the bushes, a leopard walked out and came towards us, and our bush guide put himself between us and the big cat, stared that cat down, and the cat decided not to attack and went back into the bush. So I thought, oh, my God, this is a really dangerous place. Can we trust this guide? What if he's not who he said he was? So that inspired a story of a group of tourists who fly in from all over the world to go on the safari of a lifetime, go into the bush, and are never seen again. About 6 years later, Jane and Maura have a crime on their hands. There's a big game hunter who's been murdered, and they follow the clues back to Africa, and that's how it all ties together.
It is. Is there a point from when you say, "Okay, I'm in Africa. I have this idea," and then where you say, "Okay, well, how am I going to make this work? How do I then make this plausible for these characters?" And you know, by the premise, by the gag.
I do that with every book. It's all every book is how am I going to make this work? You know, I get ideas from crazy places. I write about what scares me, and if it scares me, it goes into a story. Even if that fear has to do with outer space, I will find a way to turn it into a book.
So let me ask the question that I love asking, especially crime writers, and that is, what do you think it is that we like about being scared, about reading about the stuff that scares us?
I think it goes back to, ancient man. They sat around the campfire and probably told stories of horrible, animals that they were hunting. We love scary stories, and it may have to do with feeling that we are subconsciously preparing ourselves for a crisis, what would I do in that situation? How would I survive? And these end up being really survival stories.
When you decide to take on a project like this, in this case, and put these characters in a different setting for part of the book, what does that allow you, and what does that take away in the sense of, does it give you something and then limit you in a way, or is it just always freeing?
Well, it allows me to sort of get a breath of fresh air, to get out of Boston for a while, to tackle a different type of subject, and this subject was really a lot about leopard biology and behavior and how they hunt. The limitations, of course, are that I still have to stay within the confines of what would a Boston PD detective be doing going to Africa to find a clue. That is something that needs to be explained. So I'm always trying to keep it within the limits of plausibility, but bring in stuff that I find personally fascinating.
And it's always well after, where there's, it seems like, how could we possibly find anything out about this that's new because it's been so long ago?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. And you're also talking about, police officers who are established in Africa. I mean, what kind of communication would there be? How does Jane go about finding all this information? But it is really vital because what happened in the bush, it turns out, has been happening other places around the country, and that's what Jane is realizing.
Jane Rizzoli is a Boston homicide detective. Maura Isles is a medical examiner. Talk a little bit about what you wanted to explore in that relationship between, not just between those characters, but between those two positions.
Well, it's funny because Jane was first created, I created her as a minor character. In The Surgeon, she was just the sidekick of the hero, and she was not really very likable when she walked on the page. She was very annoying. I didn't see the point of making her likable because I planned to kill her in that story. But when I got to the end of the book and the scene where she was supposed to die, I couldn't do it because I had learned to like her through that process of getting to know this character. So she stayed alive, and I wanted to know what happens to her next. Jane is, an amalgamation of every woman cop I've ever met. They're tough. They have to be smart. They have to be able to fit in and you know, run with the guys. So she is a little bit of a tomboy. Dr. Maura Iles is very much like me. She was introduced in the second book called The Apprentice. She's a medical examiner, and she's logical. She's scientific. She tries to find an explanation for everything. So we have two really, really different women who work together and on a professional basis have learned to respect each other. They weren't friends at the beginning, but now 11 books later, they are friends. And I think it's that interplay between two really, really smart women who have each other's backs. And when need, you know, when the time comes, they sometimes will risk their lives for each other. And I love that professional partnership that has nothing to do with romance, but has everything to do with two women.
As the characters in the relationship has progressed, how have the readers responded? What do they tell you about the character and the characters and their development?
Well, I think the readers, what they like the most is seeing women at work. And I think probably most of my readers in the United States are women. We see ourselves. We see our own female relationships mirrored in these stories. And I think that's what readers like. They also like to read about their personal lives. I think I get more fan mail, or more reader mail anyway, about Maura's sad love relationship. So that seems to be what everybody's hanging on to. You know, what is Maura ever going to find Mr. Right?
Yeah. When you started this and you look at the success of the series, and I think we've talked about this before, but then the show goes on television, you're open up to a different fan base, people who are perhaps reading the books for the first time. Does that change anything for you when you are sitting there at the keyboard writing?
Well, I try to stick to the characters as I've created them, but I have to admit that sometimes when I'm writing, I hear Angie Harmon's voice whenever I write a piece of dialogue with Jane. And I can't tell you how different that is, because I created Jane as being a really kind of ordinary woman and an average-looking woman,
right?
Not at all beautiful, and now she's played by gorgeous Angie. So that was a bit of a jolt to me that my two characters, who are average-looking women, are now on TV and looking quite glamorous.
But but obviously they have their own drum. They have their own progression as to what the characters are doing, and that can't interfere. Do they take your lead on that, or do they just do their thing and you do your thing?
Oh, they do their own thing. They have their own set of writers. I think what they're trying to do is stick to the theme of female friendship. That was what was most powerful to the producers. They wanted that. And they have really delved into what that friendship means. And I probably am working more on the crimes and on the mystery and on the extraneous, curious information that I love to dig up for these stories.
I think I mentioned this the other day, but when we had Bob Parker was alive, he always used to say, because of course his famous series was Spencer, and Spencer for Hire was a show for a long time, and he said he learned after a while with doing TV adaptations that you just take the money and run, and felt that was the best way to do it, because otherwise you go crazy. Has this been a pleasant situation for you? Are you still involved, or do you just sort of, or have you taken the money and run?
It has been a wonderful situation. I mean, I know the showrunners. I've met the stars. I've been on the set a couple times. I don't write the stories, though. They have their own team, and
sure,
it works for me because I'm too busy working on my books. My experience with Rosalian Isles has been the best that any writer could possibly have. It's amazing to see it go into its sixth season next year and to see it go into syndication. I mean, when I first got the call from the producer, I was raced to say this is not going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. I'm just going to cash a check and walk away. And to watch it be such a success has been wonderful.
Well, the name of the new Rizzoli and Isles book is Die Again. It is published by Ballantine Books, and it's just a terrific read. Tess Gerritsen, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Again, Tess Gerritsen's new Rizzoli and Isles novel is Die Again. It is published by Ballantine. The series is on TNT. You're listening to Roundtable on WAMC.